Kevin Hagan is with us. Very, very popular segment where we talk Alabama. Kevin, are you there, sir?
I am, and I don't have the flu, unlike last week, which I battled through. And actually, a couple of listeners sent me notes and said, you sound really down today. Is it the signing day? And I said, no, I'm sorry. I'm battling the flu. So,
you know, that's been a problem at all the schools. Really bad. In the
it has.
Schools across everywhere. All right, here is one I'm going to begin with. Judd asked me about it a few days ago, and then he followed up again this morning to make sure I did not forget. He said, could you please ask Kevin to give more details on his, quote, tip of the iceberg comment regarding Kirby being a bad guy?
Oh, yeah, I just made the comment at that time, and it was really directed to Alabama fans. If you remember, Alabama fans were kind of in an uproar when they found out that you know, Kirby had taken a picture of the recruiting board before he left. And I was just passing along. I was tip of the iceberg. I mean, I'm all for negative recruiting. Kirby's been a little over and above on the negative recruiting ever since he took the Georgia job. But it's all fine and good. I understand that's part of the game or whatever. I just was wanting Alabama fans. There were, at that time, there were still some Alabama fans who thought Kirby was, quote, unquote, one of us. And I think pretty much everybody's figured out now that that bridge has been burned and then some, and he's not one of us anymore. He can be certainly classified as an enemy. So the guy we once called Flirting Kirby when he was our defensive coordinator and couldn't stop mobile coaches, now we affectionately call him Coach Second 26. So it's all good.
Is Kirby and Jeremy Pruitt close?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. That's why I keep saying the recruiting battles between the Vols and the Dogs in metropolitan Atlanta would be worthy of pay-per-view status. It's going to be great.
And when they were together at Alabama, were they, I mean, obviously you've got to communicate, but they weren't really
absolutely
close?
Absolutely. I mean, they're professional, but as I've said before, I mean, Kirby really wasn't close to anybody other than Nick on that staff. He didn't really hang out with the rest of the guys. He was kind of his own dude, and he was never really close to anybody.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, is that more of a, that's just his personality? For example, at Georgia?
Yeah.
Is that just the way he goes about it?
And he was kind of sometimes seen by the other coaches at times as, quote, unquote, you know, Nick's boy and everything. But, no, he was never really close with the rest of the staff. And then, you know, it's just that you have different personalities on staff. It's like any office in America, you know. And Jeremy, I mean, Tennessee fans are learning, and I loved hearing your stories about it. Jeremy Pruitt is an absolute no-nonsense guy, and he will have no problem getting in the face of anybody from the president of the University of Tennessee down to a student manager. Jeremy will take no prisoners at Tennessee, which is one of the reasons that I think eventually he's going to get that program turned around and be very successful. But there's been instances where Jeremy didn't have any qualms about getting in the face of Nick Saban when he needed to. Absolutely. One instance was at halftime in the Mississippi State game when we were, looked like garbage in Starkville this past season. Is one of the reasons that we got out of there with a win is the fact that he got in Coach Saban's face at halftime and said, we have got to simplify this defense or we're leaving Starkville with a loss.
He also, under Mark Richt down there at Georgia, got real huffy several times, I understand, with not only the coach but the administration.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I rather doubt that Jeremy Pruitt and Mark Richt exchange Christmas cards.
Yeah, so. but Kirby and Will Muschamp are close.
Oh, yes, yes. I believe they still share a vacation home in Florida, if I'm not correct.
Right. Was it them or was it Jimbo? I guess it was Kirby. And
it's
you're
one
right.
One of
it
those two, yeah. One of the two he does, yeah.
Correct. Anyways, okay. So that's,
I mean, that's the nature. The bottom line is fans had half of an insight in what goes on with recruiting, they would be so, and I'm not talking about Valley. I mean, if they understood as how ugly it gets, they would be absolutely repulsed by it.
Well, and the other thing, and I think we all, even folks who have been around it, like me and you, we do tend to look from the outside in at a staff. And let's say everybody's got their favorite school, their favorite team. Fans look from the outside in at their staff like it's some kind of paradise. Like there aren't inner office politics like your office somebody listening to me right now, or there aren't disagreements, or there aren't feuds, or there aren't people who absolutely don't like each other on these staffs. That is life. I mean, that is like any place you go, you're going to have some of that. And a football staff is the same way. But when we hear about it, Kevin, it's like it's way more loud, and it's way more profound for some reason, because we glorify the football staff.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. You fans have the perception, like you said, that the coaches sit around the conference table, you know, holding hands, singing Kumbaya at the beginning and the end of every conference meeting. And that's just simply not the case. Now, obviously, you know, coaches like Coach Saban are able to manage that. But, yeah, it's like any office environment, like you said. Some coaches like each other better than others and get along. And then you have coaches like Lane Kiffin. And Lane, you know, there were times in practice where Lane was asked to run something specific for the defense in practice, and Lane would deliberately do something else just to annoy Coach Saban. So, I mean, there's all different spectrums of it, and it's all good. And most of the time, most of the assistant coaches actually get along off the field, because they realize, hey, someday you never know who your boss may be. You know, fans of Jeremy Pruitt and friends of his for a long time, I'm sure, were excited when he got that job, in hopes that he would give them a call and ask them to join his Tennessee staff. So it's just one of the many things that you kind of really wish fans could see to understand what all goes on behind the scenes.
Let's double back a little bit, and we'll probably wear this topic out, but it is interesting. I was talking yesterday, and we were talking Florida and some other things, but Felipe Franks down there, and it seems like nobody's given him a chance to be the quarterback under Dan Mullen. And maybe he is, but it seems like nobody's given him a chance. Nobody's given Jarrett Garantano a chance at Tennessee, even though Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback. So we're trying to figure that one out. But we were just talking about this spring, quarterbacks who are going to have to make decisions on stay or go. And am I staying here and going to fight for this job, or am I going to go? And the other one is Jalen Hurts. And, again, not an original conversation that you and I have had. We've talked about this a bunch. But how do you think this thing gets measured up by him? And the other thing about Jalen is he's doing so many good things. You see him tweeting. He's with people. He's helping the underprivileged. He's a great kid. But at some point, he's going to have to make a decision.
He will, and it's going to be a real interesting decision, I think. There are several options on the table. He's, you know, stay, fight for the quarterback position, accept your role probably as the backup quarterback behind Tua Tagovailoa. I'm sure Alabama could have packages for him. There's the option of him going to an H-back position, which is a position that a lot of the coaches and staff feel like is something that he could do at a professional level. Unfortunately, it does not look like Jalen Hurts has a future as an NFL quarterback, but he possibly could in like the H-back role. We just really won't know, and I know this is a frustrating answer from people, but it's the honest answer. We really won't know till the end of spring. There are those that have the close to the program that have told me that they think that he will possibly leave if he doesn't win the starting quarterback job, and then there's others that think that there's a realistic chance that he may stay around this season in either the backup quarterback role or the H-back role. So we're just going to have to let it play itself out. The great thing is, if Jalen Hurts does choose to stay, and I would love to see him stay as a backup, to be honest with you, he's going to handle it in the classy manner that he's handled everything else. He's not going to be divisive. He's not going to be a cancer on the program, which you normally deal with. So that's another reason that I don't think there's really any concern if he does decide to stay. I can tell you this, his teammates want him to stay. I mean, he's loved on the team. I mean, that doesn't mean that they don't want the best quarterback playing, but there aren't players on the team aren't hoping that Jalen leaves. And quite honestly, Bill, I hope he makes the decision to stay. We'll know a whole lot more late April, early May.
And another item we've discussed, a possible destination would be Boca, right?
Well, there's been some rumors about that, but I mean, he wasn't particularly close to Lane Kiffin when Lane was his quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. If, and this is a big if, because like I said, I really hope Jalen stays. I personally, now this is Kevin Hagan talking, if he were to transfer, and I put if in quotations there, if, I think he would choose a school somewhere closer back to his home in Texas, like maybe a TCU. But I personally, I hope he's a part of the 2018 Alabama team.
Brian on Twitter, and he just downloaded the app, so we're happy to have him here, said, ask Kevin about two physical altercations that Pruitt had at Georgia, and he also said Pruitt is still given credit for the indoor practice facility at Georgia because he did put his fist down on their lack thereof of that facility at the time.
He had a lot to do with that. I really can't talk about specifics of the Georgia incidents because I don't have the insight into what everything that went on at Georgia like I have inside the Alabama. So, unfortunately, you'll have to get that from someone who knows more on the Georgia side of it. But, yes, he did have a huge influence in Georgia getting that indoor facility. He was actually blown away when he got to Georgia how unlike the Alabama program that Georgia was.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you. And I would imagine, and look, Mark Richt's done a good job so far at Miami, so I don't want this to sound for the Miami listeners that were bashing away, but the environment under Mark Richt was very – at Georgia, it was lethargic. It lacked energy. That's why we always had the name Energy Vampire there. And I'm sure when Jeremy Pruitt walked into that, and then had to live in it, it just galled him to no end, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, you were talking earlier about one of my pet peeves, forfeits and vacated wins, and I know all about vacated wins. Alabama's had 21 of those. You were jokingly saying and talking about the 2012 National Championship game with Notre Dame, and I'm like, that's fine, because in honesty, let's be honest, the 2012 National Championship game was Alabama-Georgia in the SEC Championship game. I mean, those were the two best teams that year, and whoever won that game was going to beat Notre Dame. Heck, take anything away from that Fighting Irish team, but that was a great team. I mean, it kind of blows my mind, quite honestly, that Georgia never won a national championship under Mark Richt, because he certainly had some teams that had the capability to do so. And so in some small ways, you might say that the Jeremy Pruitt did Georgia a favor, and Georgia's certainly in better hands. With Kirby Smart now moving forward. I mean, Mark Richt's a great person. He's a great Christian man. He just never seemed to be able to get the Georgia program over the top.
Jim down in West Palm tweets, "Hey, guys, Jimbo and Muschamp shared a vacation home." And he goes, "That's why it was so weird when Muschamp got the Florida job."
There you go.
I knew it was one of them because I know they're all buddies in that group in some form or fashion. And they all have, I guess, the common thread there is the Nick relationships, right? Jimbo down at LSU, et cetera.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Coach Saban and Jimbo, I mean, they're still very cordial with one another. It's not a hatred thing. Now, certainly Coach Saban will want to, you know, beat him when he brings his Aggies to Tuscaloosa this fall. But, I mean, it's a lot of these coaches, they're very amenable off the field. They have quote relationships with one another, and oftentimes if they've been on the staff, their wives have even closer relationships, and that's what's really important. That's where you rub somebody wrong. If a coach's wife gets rubbed the wrong way by the other coach's wife, that's actually a bigger deal, believe it or not.
Oh no, I trust me. I've heard lots about those situations at various schools. Yeah, if mama gets in a snit, oh.
Never underestimate the influence of coaches' wives on programs.
Correct.
And I know a lot of fans will laugh at that comment, but trust me, never underestimate it.
So Saban likes Muschamp. I know he likes Pruitt. If we could get Nick, which he would never have this conversation, publicly for sure, to pick between Kirby Smart and Lane Kiffin. Now, I don't mean as a coach, perhaps, but I just mean, who do you dislike more? If we could get truth serum into him, how do you think that answer would go?
This is me speaking for Coach, which is a dangerous thing, and I don't like to do.
You're going to get a call after the show.
It would be very hard to find any individual that he's more unhappy with right now than Lane Kiffin. That would be difficult to find.
So
that relationship is not healthy.
So in the pecking order, Kirby would.
You will not find Lane Kiffin sitting with Coach at the out on the boat at Lake Burton anytime this summer. You know, counting the ducks. That is not going to happen.
Oh me, that is so funny. Well.
And, hey, we made it through a signing day where Alabama finished number 7. It was unbelievable. I was talking to Ole Miss Evie, and I was congratulating on her and how surprisingly well I thought Alabama did, and I was sharing with her. It was unbelievable as so many Alabama fans' reaction to signing day. And, yeah, we missed on some people, but, oh, wow, Bill, you'd have thought we finished, like, 63rd in the nation or something.
Well, it started off terrific with Patrick Surtain.
Absolutely. I mean, Alabama's number one area of need in this class was the secondary. Alabama signed, in my opinion, the best secondary class Coach Saban's ever signed at Alabama. They signed the number one high school secondary player in Patrick Surtain. They signed the number one JUCO in Savion Smith. I mean, loaded secondary for Alabama. They got Anoma, who's a great number one defensive end, which they needed. So, I mean, it wasn't the number one class. Georgia signed the number one class this year, but Alabama met their needs. But it was just really interesting. As Wednesday progressed, it was like, oh, my gosh, it was gloom and doom. You'd have thought Coach Saban had announced his retirement or something. It was a long Wednesday last week. Let's just put it that way.
Well, and Tennessee fans, well, I saw a column written, and it said that Jeremy Pruitt's devotion to Alabama cost Tennessee in recruiting. Now, Tennessee finished 20th, which I thought was pretty good considering what he walked into. It was an absolute mess. But I saw a column written on that that said that actually was critical of Pruitt because he was too devoted to Alabama to do both jobs appropriately.
I could see somebody from the Tennessee perspective writing that column, but at the same time, I think it speaks to Jeremy Pruitt's dedication to his word and his loyalty to his players that he had at Alabama. Then he's going to have that absolute same loyalty to the players that have played for him at the University of Tennessee. Like you, I thought, all things considered, I thought Jeremy signed about as great a class as he's going to be able to sign. So, I mean, let's be honest, Tennessee was behind the eight ball from the get-go, and if they want to blame anybody, blame the administration. How long did this coaching search last? It was ridiculous. That's where the blame should go.
I'll let you out the door on this. Robert Gillespie, in essence, has been let go at Tennessee. There was some talk yesterday that maybe Chris Winkie would be coming up there to be the running back coach, which we know you can – running back coach does not have to be a running back. You can almost anybody can take that job, meaning a good coach. Are you hearing anything about Chris Winkie?
I have not heard anything about Chris Winkie. Of course, he's still in the analyst role for Alabama. So if he was offered a position coach at Tennessee, that would be an upgrade for him. But I have not heard any additional rumors about that at all. But I would not be surprised that Jeremy would not be turning to him. You're going to see Jeremy turn and look at a lot of people that he's coached with at Alabama to fill the lower level positions. So that would be a good hire for Tennessee.
Did they do anything about replacing the defensive line coach?
They're still interviewing people. The popular name that everyone's heard is Eric Henderson, who's the Los Angeles Chargers defensive line coach. Another possibility that's out there that you could see is the possibility that maybe Tosh moves to defensive line himself and that Alabama hires another outside linebacker coach. That's kind of the wild card that not a lot of people are talking about. But I will say this, whoever Coach Saban hires will have great recruiting ties to Louisiana, Mississippi, and East Tennessee because you're going to hear me say this over and over the next year. There is generational talent in Louisiana and Mississippi in this 2019 class, and everybody Coach Saban's added to this staff are able to help in that regard in some way in those two states.
Appreciate you, Kevin. Thank you, sir.
Have a great day, everybody. Roll Tide.